Best time of the week. I like to call it happy hour. At least I just began calling it that. Ian McNulty joins us, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. How you doing, Ian McNulty?
Great to be back with you, Tommy. Raring to go for the weekend.
Yeah, that's why we get you started with happy hour, huh?
Yeah, well, coffee over here for now, but, you know, yeah. The gears will shift. I'm happy to be with you.
There you go. So it's happy hour. Let's talk about where you've been eating and where you've been drinking, and I'll ask people to text in, as I have before, 504-260-1870. That's the Okunor Jewelers Talk and Text Line. No texting and driving ever. But if you got any questions about restaurants, where places you'd like to try, you're going to try places, things you'd like to order, et cetera. So tell me about your experience, Ian. What have you been doing?
So I'm going to start with a happy hour, Tommy. I've been all over the map lately. This is, you know, summertime. I really have been trying to just kind of lean into it, you know, mm-hmm. like what you and I have been talking about all summer is like just go out, find some fun, throw some support to some places while we have, you know, we have campus to ourselves before all the tourists mm-hmm. come back. I mean, the students aren't even back to college yet. And you can tell, but, you know, this wonderful city built for hospitality is all ours right now, still for a little bit. So happy hour is, you know, it's a movable feast, isn't it? It's not necessarily just an hour, and sometimes it's not where you expect it to be. I turned up to a place called Barrel Proof on Monday. Mm-hmm. This is a Monday, two hence. And this is a bar in the Lower Garden District, a tavern.
Monday to hence. What the hell does that mean?
Two Mondays ago.
Oh, really? Is hence. That an Irish hence. Expression or what?
Or backwards, yeah. A reverse hence. Huh. Strike that. Reverse it. 2 weeks ago, Tommy.
You teach me some stuff, man. I'm telling you. So 2 weeks hence, 2 weeks ago, you reading when? Not last Monday, but the Monday before.
Okay, hence means forward, I misspoke. So let's just go back in time 2 weeks to Barrel Proof, which is in Lower Garden District, Magazine Street. Groovy little bar. Whiskey is the jam there. Has a world-beating whiskey list and a great old-fashioned.
Now you're talking. They got my attention.
They have a happy hour or the old-fashioned. The house old-fashioned is on special. We happened to be going there on a Monday, like I said, and discovered that in the summertime, it's happy hour all night, which is nice. But really, we were there to eat. They have a pop-up there called Matchbook Kitchen. And it's one of those pop-ups that's really a residency. You know, it's not just like randomly popping up or just setting up on the sidewalk. They take over the kitchen on a regular schedule Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. And it's the kind of pop-up I love because it's not just doing kind of, you know, the food you would find anywhere and just happens to be under your nose at a bar, which is handy enough. It's doing food that you would go seek out anywhere. So in this case, it's a very unique take on Asian food that's creative without being out of bounds. It's fun. It's fresh. If you're missing MoFo, which sadly closed in the spring, mm-hmm. it's not exactly the same, but it kind of dials into some of the same ideas. Anyway, it's called Matchbook Kitchen. We went and we started ordering some things and then learned happy hour goes all night. So what did we do, Tommy? We kind of made a night of it. We ate through a lot of the menu. This is all paper plate casual food, but it's really good.
Like, tell me again where that was.
Matchbook Kitchen is the name of the kitchen. Okay. And they run out of Barrel Proof Bar in the Lower Garden District, which is, again, known for its whiskey and especially for its old-fashioned. So I would circle that for a Monday. They're doing that through the end of the summer, so through the end of August for practical purposes. But that happy hour continues all the time, you know, on their regular happy hour schedule.
The 1201 magazine, right, for people that are trying to find a place? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Barrel Proof on magazine, just past the overpass. Now, let's vault around to a whole different part of town. Dr. Jones is a casual, hole-in-the-wall kind of place that you and I have talked about when they first opened earlier in this year. And I kind of described it as a chef-run diner because it seemed primarily a lunch spot with dishes that just looked really interesting, barbecue shrimp, a gumbo, but were done with such a high level of technique and these surprising twists. You could tell there were like fine dining chefs who had like, you know, were just doing their own thing in their own joint without all the bells and whistles of fine dining, but just really good, flavorful food. That is still the case. However, they've turned it into a different gear. Dr. Jones has expanded the schedule to be more, still do lunch, but also expanded to dinner. And so when we went by recently, this group of people had caught on to it and basically had turned it into their own dining club for the night. And I loved seeing it because this is destination-worthy food in a spot that you really might not expect. This is on Vets in Metairie, got a halfway between Dorniak's and Martin Wine Cellar for two very wine-specific reference points because Dr. Jones is BYOB, so, you know, bring a bottle from home or stop at one of those places if you forget until you're halfway there. And it's, Tommy, it's tiny. I mean, really is. It's probably six seats at a diner counter and maybe five, six tables can probably fit, oh, I don't know, you know, 22, 24 people at any given time. Open kitchen. It really does kind of still have the contours of a diner, but the dishes that they were producing there, definitely white tablecloth worthy, but affordable, no-nonsense, BYOB, just really beautiful, interesting, original food at good prices right there in a blink and you miss it strip mall in Metairie, and a delight to rediscover.
Boy, blink and you miss it is right, huh? I'm looking at it now on Google Maps, and you really got to be looking to find this place.
Yeah, that's right. It was once Yakuza House, the original location for Yakuza House, the wonderful sushi restaurant that later moved to much bigger digs. And people with a long memory for po'boys, I know they're out there, will remember it as the old Giovanni's po'boys with that wonderful crawfish sausage po'boy that they used to do. I mean, we're going back pre-Katrina at that point. But, you know, memory is long for certain picture points. Tommy, another new one that checked out just this week, I went when they first opened back in April, and I hadn't been for a while until just this week, and I'm really glad I did. It's down in the Warehouse District, and it's called Le Moyne Bistro. Le Moyne, like the, you know, the founder of New Orleans. And here's another very familiar address. For two decades, it was Tommy's Cuisine. And right next door was Tommy's Wine Bar, a lounge that later became something called Nosh. This is right on Chapultepec Street by Emeralds in the Warehouse District. And this is the latest from a group of guys, young chefs that all came out of the fine dining scene, a couple of them from the Link Restaurant Group, which is a very reliable incubator of local
talent. I knew you were going to say that. I swear to goodness, I knew you were going to say the Link Group, because they got that's like a coaching tree, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, in the same way that we talk about Commander's Palace, like just trace the family tree of that. Like the Link Group with, like, you know, Herb St., Pesh, Koshan, Gianna, Koshan Butcher, you know, La Boulangerie. Their just their system, their style, the leadership there, the standards. You can see when people sort of graduate from there and want to start their own restaurants, which is how it works in the restaurant business. That has planted like great concepts all around town. Castera and Osterio Lupo and now Brutto Americano. That is another good example of two guys who came out of there to do their own thing and created some really great restaurants. Aviva, a really new one down in the Marigny, the former Franklin restaurant. I mean, the list goes on and on. Company Burger on Ferret Street. You know, they're not sticking to just fine dieting. They're really planting different concepts around town, these chefs and restaurant minds that have come through that group. But the one these guys I'm talking about, they started 2 years ago with a place called Plates, which is in the Cotton Mill Building, which is a huge restaurant that focuses mainly on small plates. Has a banging happy hour, too, by the way, until like 7 o'clock. So it's one of those happy hours you can actually get to if you, you know, leave work at 5:30. And they have a beautiful bar, small plates, real fun, in the Cotton Mill Building. That's called Plates. And then they surprised me last year by tripling down and opening two restaurants right around the corner. That would be at the former Tommy's and Tommy's Wine Bar. So that is respectively now Le Moyne Bistro, which is the upscale one, and then Maria's Wine and Oyster Bar, which is the more casual one in the former, well, in the wine bar space. And they connect. They share a door.
Yeah, next door, I was going to say, right?
Yeah, you're right. You can go walk from one to the other without getting any raindrops or, you know, paparazzi chasing you around, however that your situation may be. But Le Moyne Bistro was the real glow up this week. It's French, and it's what I love about it, Tommy, is that it's not French with a twist. It's not French with a whole bunch of Nola Creole thrown at you, which I love. I love all that. But sometimes you just want it to be what it is. And this was a transporting meal to France. For the duration of the meal, we could close our eyes and think, yes, as I'm eating this pâté campagne with the spicy mustard and cutting into this crusty bread with cultured butter, and spooning this this really precisely chopped beef tartare with a little horseradish as I eat this tuna nichois salad, which was just perfect for the hot weather. And as I sip this Melon de Bourgognon wine from Loire, I am in France, as long as this spell will last. It's a beautiful room. It's an upscale restaurant for sure, but they're one of the many restaurants doing a culinary menu for the month of August. So it's a really nice introductory offer. And their culinary menu is very good. It has a few of the dishes I just mentioned, actually, and it has dishes that you want to try. It's not just like the sort of, you know, dogs in the menu or something they drew up just to say they have a culinary menu. It really is an appealing three-course, $55 culinary menu for a good introduction. Although when my running partner and I sat down to this one, we took a look at the main menu, took a look at the specials, and decided we were going to give it a bigger go. And I'm glad we did. If you'll stick with me, I'll post some photos.
Nola.com's paying for it anyway. Why not, right?
And I actually had something on the specials list that, you know, you learn something new every day, Tommy. Mm-hmm. The specials came out, and there was this one dish called Jimmy Nardello Peppers. Mm-hmm. I thought, what the heck is this? Who's Jimmy? Yeah. Is this the local farmer? You know, sometimes restaurants will name check P&J Oysters or, you know, wherever they had they're sourcing their produce from. And no, it turns out this is a type of pepper, long, narrow, red, sweet, but with a little trickle of heat to it. One of those garden fresh, taste like summer kind of dishes, crinkled up on the grill, served with a little tomato vinaigrette. It was excellent. Again, another one of those dishes. You just want to sip a glass of wine, close your eyes, and think, I'm drifting away to somewhere where it's not New Orleans summer. But that's the power of all these portals that our local restaurants give us. You can just step in to their circle of hospitality and float off for a little bit of a nice meal.
Let's take a quick break. We've already talked about Matchbook Kitchen in the barrel. I can't read my whole name writing.
Barrel Proof, that's right.
Barrel Proof Bar, 1201 Magazine. Dr. Jones, 325 Vets. That's between Popeyes and CVS. And Lemoyne right?
Yep, that's right.
Lemoyne Bistro, 746 Chapatoulas. That's where Tommy's used to be. And that's the way to give directions about that. All right, so we'll pick it up. We come back, 504-260-1870. Questions are pouring in for Ian McNulty. We're talking eating and drinking. It's happy hour. And we learned some stuff. I'll tell you who Lemoyne was when we return on WWL. 9:30 here, happy hour as we talk to Ian McNulty, who covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate. The most prominent members of the Lemoyne family include Pierre Lemoyne d'Iberville, who founded the Louisiana colony and the first European settlement in Mississippi, and Jean-Baptiste Lemoyne de Bienville, known as the father of Louisiana and founder of New Orleans. How about that stuff? Ian McNulty teaches us some stuff, man. If you have any questions or comments about eating or drinking, 504-260-1870. Somebody texted in and said, Jimmy Nardello is a friend of ours, a made guy, be nice. I don't know what that means. Somebody else texted in and said, I went to, and I'm not going to read the name of the place because I don't think it would be fair, blank, and it was terribly overpriced, but I was able to enjoy it because the boss was paying for it. Which is an interesting comment, I guess. Somebody else wants to know about tomorrow, specifically breakfast, around 11 o'clock, taking part in the Red Dress Run activities, a place for four or five people to eat breakfast, not running in the race, though, because I don't think you want to go out on a hot summer morning after eating brunch and run any distance at all. But French Quarter recommendations, four or five people for brunch on tomorrow morning, Ian, and also I got to thinking about that and dress codes for restaurants. For example, I don't know what it is at Galatoire's, but tomorrow, can you get in wearing a red dress if you're a guy?
Okay, there's a lot to unravel.
There is a lot to unpack, so go ahead. Put the suitcase up on the bed and have at it.
Okay, I'm going to take that in reverse order. Right. First of all, yes, tomorrow is Red Dress Run, which has turned into one of those giant summer melees. The ways that, you know, the New Orleanians entertain themselves. But we've got campus to ourselves, right? Who says it's slow in summer? It's really hot, but not necessarily slow on the social calendar. So, yeah, the French Quarter will be filled with people. And the request for breakfast or brunch, I assume, is a post-run meal.
No, they're saying before. They said they're not running, but around 11 o'clock. I don't know when the race is. I'm just going
by what they plenty say. Of people are running or walking or meandering or crawling or whatever you want to call it. And, you know, for those who don't know, it's basically a giant kind of morning drinking, sort of, you know, running of the bulls, but in guys and gals too, in red dresses and increasingly just sort of red garments. But the ones who are doing it right are wearing red dresses. And it's an early start. It's an undisclosed route, but we know it starts at Armstrong Park on North Rampart Street, and the quarter and adjacent neighborhoods will be filled, and you need to fill up too. So if you're down in the quarter, you know, for this time frame, for this, you know, you've done this, it's post-run, you need to eat, you need to be kind to yourself, you're wearing red dresses. Can you get into Galatoire's? Yes, you can. Jackets required has definitely become more jackets recommended, or jackets if you know what you're doing. But then there's always a caveat for it in New Orleans of, you're wearing a costume, you know. I mean, Galatoire's is a place that has full on people in theatrical costumes for Mardi Gras, for almost at Thanksgiving, but I could believe it at Galatoire's, at Halloween. So, you know, it's one of those things where New Orleans institutions are institutions, and they do and should uphold standards, but those are very bendable to New Orleans culture too. And the general idea of dress codes is, yeah, you should. Like, you know, if you're going to Antoine's, if you're going to Galatoire's, Arno's, I can think of maybe a handful of others. Yeah, you know, wear a jacket if you're a guy. Dress up if you're a gal. But at the same time, it's not the days when the maitre d' will hold up his nose and, you know, bar your entry. You know, if you're a tech bro who's coming in and you're going to drop $5,000 on a bottle of wine, and you just happen to be wearing a $500 pair of jeans and a, you know, $300 t-shirt, they're going to let you in. Yeah. They're going to let you in. They're going to welcome you with open arms.
That's interesting as you say that, as opposed to a $99 suit that travels all over you like a Michelin tire.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, it's what these places are built for, you know. I believe you should take them on their own terms.
So
but,
places, yeah. Specific places for this person?
Yeah, cultural caveat is that, you know, when it's a holiday like this or a celebration, all bets are off. Yeah. Down in the French Quarter, Felipe's is built for this kind of thing. It's quick serve Mexican food with some drinks in the bar. It's good for people rolling in when they, you know, they need to eat. Napoleon House, if you want to go a little more classic, have a big muffalata in front of you. Can a muffalata be breakfast? Yes, it can. A little more conventional breakfast, Stanley on Jackson Square, kind of the old-fashioned diner. Look, just don't mess around. Go to Verde Mart and get one of those ginormous po' boys. It's down in the, you know, the quieter end of the quarter there, late-night convenience store deli. Good for things like this. If you're full on making a day of it, like we're doing the red dress run and we're actually going to make a reservation tonight to go out tomorrow, try Sylvain down also near Jackson Square. Fantastic place. Or something like Tableau. Don't let the huge construction going on around Jackson Square right now scare you off. Those restaurants are open and we're happy to see your business. So if you want to do sort of a bigger thing where you're planning this out, not just rolling in after the red dress run with a, you know, half finished go cup in one hand and an empty belly growling at you. If you want to plan out your adventure tomorrow, hit up places like that.
So are you wearing a red dress? I'm just wondering if you take part in it.
No, I've done it in the past, but it's one of those things that I prefer to let other people enjoy.
I was just wondering what size you would be. I'm guessing about a 13, maybe a 16.
Extra medium.
Oh, extra medium. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Here we go. Somebody wants to know about good places in St. Bernard to eat.
Well, you've got your classics, of course. You know, you say St. Bernard, everyone's going to automatically think Rocky and Carlos, ladies invited and respected. But there's a lot more happening in St. Bernard Parish now than just the classics. This one is kind of a modern classic in my book, Mimi's Bar and Grill. It's been around for a while, but it's in a new era now. We talked earlier about chefs coming out of Donald Link's group and doing different things around town. Mimi's now is in the hands of a group of guys who came out of Emeralds. And during the pandemic, when the restaurants were shut down, they've started their own catering company where they do upscale kind of chef tasting menu style dinners in private homes. And lo and behold, one of them took over Mimi's. He's a St. Bernard guy. He grew up in Chalmette, went off to the world of fine dining, came full circle and took over Mimi's Bar and Grill. And it's not, upscale Emeralds kind of thing now, but it is definitely the upscale restaurant for St. Bernard Parish. Good steaks, good oyster bar, nice wine list. Every once in a while, they'll put on a special wine dinner there that'll knock your socks off. And it's not a thing of like, whoa, they're doing this in St. Bernard. But kind of it is. They're doing things in the parish that no one else is doing. But just day in and day out, this is the place for your business lunch, for your date night out with your honey. It's worth a trip all on its own. It's got its own character. If you like oysters, they do char-grilled oysters there several different ways. It's one called Bangkok style. It's got like a Southeast Asian hot sauce on it. Terrific place. Also in St. Bernard, I can't think of the parish these days without thinking of Secret Thai. We've talked about it before. It's a traditional Thai restaurant that just goes big on portions and really big on spice if you ask them to or if you dare. This has like a spice rating chart of 1 to 5. And unless you have Thai parents, maybe grandparents, you're going to be highly questioned if you go over 1.5, say. And I've been there, and it's as hot as I ever want food to be at the 1.5 rating. But it's a great bargain. You're always going to have leftovers. The portions are huge. The prices are good, and it's BYOB, that Secret Thai.
I will take a break. Pick it up when we come back with Ian McNulty. You referred to the Red Restaurant as a melee, is that what you said? I don't mean to parse words, but would you say it's that or more of a shindig?
It depends what part of the morning you're in.
You're the writer. You're the writer. I'm just asking.
It can start as a shindig and devolve into a melee.
Soiree, perhaps?
Yeah, it could be a soiree. It could evolve right back up to a soiree. It's a wave diagram of the mood when you're off one of these morning beer-soaked crawls, isn't it?
All right, 9:40, 20 till 10, more with Ian McNulty when we come back. Somebody wants to know, Ian, I'll give you this. You can do some homework while we're on a break. I have a group of retirees. Can you recommend restaurants that are receptive to separate bills? I normally have 15 to 20 retirees who attend, so you can work on that. And right now we'll look at traffic on WWL. All right, 9:46, 14 till 10. Never enough time with Ian McNulty. Happy hour. He covers food and dining culture for the Times-Picayune, New Orleans Advocate, and we love talking about it here on Friday morning. So, Ian, before we went to break, we have somebody that has a group of retirees, and they're looking for a restaurant that I guess doesn't mind receptive to separate bills, 15 to 20 people. Thoughts?
I think what the caller is really looking for is a luncheon, a banquet. When you go to these things, these business meetings, they're set up for it, and everyone gets their bill, and it's no problem. If you can't just roll, just please don't do this. Don't roll into a restaurant and say, "Oh, we've got 20 people, and we'd all like separate bills." And it's just for a conventional restaurant set up for normal service, you're not setting yourself up for success. So it's the kind of thing you'll find a restaurant that specializes in this kind of thing, that knows you're coming, that will probably have a set menu. Like Ralph's in the Park comes to mind. Like restaurants that kind of do this day in and day out, and call them in advance and set it up specifically with that. Or if not, if you're looking for something, just, hey, is this us and the guys going out, casual lunch, we're all getting together, this is the way we roll. A place where you're ordering at the counter, frankly, because you automatically have a separate check. You control your own destiny and your own timeline with that. Go to Martin's Wine Cellar, either one of them, and your group of retirees, I promise you won't be the oldest people there either. choose your paths. And that's trying to dissuade you from doing this, but make a little preparation and find what you're really looking for. The terminology is you're coming in with a luncheon group for a small banquet, and you would like a large table with separate checks. And with that information, they can probably take care of you. Just back to Red Dress Run for a second.
Yeah.
I just remember some more good casual eats in the quarter that I think would really fit
for the tomfoolery that's going on.
Yes, all the descriptors of it. Killer Po' Boys. That's another great one. Super casual, but interesting. Good food, hearty, fill you up. And Will in the Way for just a little more, not upscale, but a little nicer, but a killer burger, great modern tavern food. And just, you know, right there in the heart of the quarter, right off of, that one's on Toulouse Street, right off of Bourbon. Just a couple more of your spots to fill up.
You know, as you talk about separate checks and so forth, and a person had texted in, anecdotally, I was having a conversation with somebody the other day that said they met some friends toward the end of the meal, midway to the end of the meal, and it was like an $800 tab, and he was asked if he wanted anything. He said, no, I'm fine. And he said he wouldn't even drink water because he didn't want any part of that bill at all when it comes to paying for it. So generally speaking, from the restaurateur's side of it, from the diner's side of it, what's the best way to handle splitting up those kind of things? You do this for a living, so you should know.
Oh, yeah. Well, it depends on who you're rolling with, you know. I mean, I have groups of friends who, a heavy bill lands on the table. Somebody wants that. They want the points. They want the airline points. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, he or she will drop a card on it, and we'll all Venmo them the share. I mean, the way that we roll, it's usually like, we're not saying, oh, well, you had the $30 entree, I had the $24 entree, so you carry the two. Right. Then we're our tax. You got bacon on your burger? That was a $2 upcharge. Mm-hmm. I don't think we should split it. Just, you know, the people that I roll with, fortunately, we're all in this together. We're splitting stuff up. And hopefully these are people that are, you know, not throwing you under the bus. Like, the expectation is not, everyone's having iced tea, but you ordered a $120 bottle of Burgundy, you know.
Right.
Don't be that. It's social dining requires a certain etiquette and approach anyway. But, you know, yeah, generally, you know, a restaurant is not going to have a problem with up to four credit cards is sort of reasonable. After that, it's, you know, make arrangements within your group, you know. Cash is still king at some places. I mean, I know that's kind of fading. But, we used to call them yuppie food stamps, man. You know, the $20 bills, you'd go out to a restaurant and you go to the ATM and everyone would have a bunch of $20 bills and you got to split them up that way. I guess those would be 100 these days. But you take my point.
Yeah, 20 ain't what it used to be.
Yeah, I think the payment apps like Venmo, PayPal, whatever, are really helpful for that. And look, sometimes, I mean, I have friends, we go out, we split the bill, they get the next one, we get this one, you know, that's kind of how it rolls sometimes. But, you know, it's different with the dynamic of your group, how many people you're out with, is it a business thing, is it purely social, do you owe Jimmy Nardello for some past
transgressions?
For it, you know, maybe you're buying them two lobsters to take home, like the old-fashioned tax assessors, you know.
I used to have a guy, somebody that was, anyway, it's a family thing, and this person, every time it came time to pay the bill, and you know, I'm like you. It's like, I'm not going to split this up. I got this time, you get it next time. But it was like he'd take his wallet out and it was, blow the cobwebs off of it. A little slow to pay. Yes, exactly. Somebody mentioned Crave in Miro about St. Bernard dining. Thoughts?
Yes, that's another one of the newer school kind of places. You know, it's, not, you know, this is not avant-garde cuisine, but it's a different change of pace from your old mom and them's kind of places, you know.
But is it real cooking or is it like, you know, Cisco stuff?
No,
nothing against
yeah.
Cisco, I'm just saying, you know.
But, it's real cooking, and the Cisco truck travels far and wide, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it does, and I'm not...
It's what you do with it.
I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying that. And sometimes it can be a starting point. It can be like, you know, you get a... You know, a bag of gumbo, you throw it in a pot and you boil it and then you open the bag and you put it on the plate and then maybe from there you'd fool with it a little bit, right? And dress it up.
Yeah, at fancier places they call that sous vide.
What's that?
I said at fancier places they call that sous vide.
There you go. Do they really or not?
Well, it's the same theory, in fact. No, not really. I'm joking.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought it might be like a Donnybrook. Which brings us back to where we were before. Ian, it's always a pleasure to talk to you and mess around and have some fun on a Friday. Give me one dining recommendation this week for people to try if perhaps they've not tried it before. They're looking for a new place.
Station 6 in Bucktown. Went recently. It was just incredible. It's casual, but with fine dining cred. I'll put it that way. It's your casual restaurant with fine dining cred. And you know, if you're out about the French Quarter, this is a place that is sadly closing in a few weeks. Mm. Effervescence. It's closing because the owner is retiring and something new is going to come in there. We don't know what yet. But this is a beautiful restaurant and bar, really a lounge, but a high end champagne house.
Thanks, Ian. And, gotta run. Appreciate it as always. Thank you, sir. You bet. And matter of fact, Station 6 is right where a water spout kind of crossed the foot of the causeway. Peyton Malone tweeting a picture of it. I retweeted it. You can follow me at TTuckerWWL, and you can see it. 9:55, we'll find out what Newell's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.